Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Good evening, all listeners of Watchman. Thank you for joining us today again as we proceed with some of the teachings that we have been called to minister to the church, and that is particularly about the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm joined as usual by Evangelist John Paul Akena as we dissect some of the things that are happening in the world today. And of course, there is nothing bigger that is happening in the world right now. Yes. Than what has been happening in Israel.
Yes.
And what started, I think, Saturday morning.
Yes.
On the morning of Saturday.
Yes.
When, tell us what happened.
Now, on Saturday morning, on the wake of Saturday morning, Israel woke up with a surprise invasion of Hamas terrorist group coming from Gaza, which is, of course, just at the southern part of Israel. So in the timing of it, about 6 a.m., 6:30 to 4:30, they invaded Israel by, first of all, they entered Israel border and broke all through the border fences. That was, people were moving by land. And then by air, they started sending missiles into Israel. And then by sea, they started entering Israel through the Mediterranean Sea. So it has been something which all Israel has been, they have called it as a surprise attack or a terrorist attack. And the world has been comparing it to 9/11, which is the terrorist attack in New York. So that has been what has been really happening. And that sparked of a lot of killings, because they've killed children, people in homes, adults, elderly people. They have been killing people and causing a lot of death, to the point that today on Wednesday, it is estimated at about 1,300 deaths.
Of Israelis.
Of Israelis. Of course, Israel, of course, responded. And then they began taking charge of the situation. And then they started launching attack into Gaza, of course, and arresting a few of these other Hamas terrorists who had entered Israel. Some of them were arrested. And then the following day, it has been on like that, Israel. But one of the amazing part is, once that was in the southern part of Israel, then it entered into the part where attacks started from the northern side of Israel, which is from Lebanon. Now, no one had expected it that it was going to be so, but it started coming from the northern side, which is the Hezbollah group in Lebanon, started also responding. Of course, they didn't do it massively. They started with eating the border post and a few other places of Israel, which, you know, Israel has border post and where their IDF, which is Israel Defense Force, would station and then keep the peace of the border. So what happened is they started attacking and sending a few rockets here and there. Then, of course, Israel also responded by sending some of their soldiers to take care of the situation right there. And today, Wednesday, Israel was also now attacked from the northeastern part, which is Syria. So we are seeing fronts from the southern part, which is in Gaza, from the northern part, Lebanon, and from the northeastern part, which is Syria. All this. The good thing is that Israel right now is not taking anything lightly. And actually, on that very day, on Saturday morning, which is unprecedented, because all these attacks which has ever been launched at Israel, there was nothing which the government of Israel could say, maybe in form of declaring a war. But this time, Benjamin Netanyahu stood up and said, now we are at war. And all through from 1973 up to now, there was no declaration of war on each attack launched at Israel. So it's also being that Israel has been at the peak of their holidays. They had finished their Feast of Tabernacles on October 6th, Friday. And of course, being a Saturday, they are just concluding with their Sabbath.
And it's a public holiday.
Yeah, and it's a public holiday. That has been the situation in Israel.
Actually, it reminds me of Yom Kippur, because that time they got them on when they were on the, the Day of Atonement, when they were fasting, and you know, and even then it was a surprise. But here is the thing. Let me give you, some of you people, a historical background of how Israel has ended up being the territory that it is, and what they call occupied territories, and how they came about, the so-called occupied territories. And now nobody, of course, tells you this. But in 1947, there was a vote in UN when the Jews said that after what they had suffered during the Second World War with Hitler and all that, they said they wanted to have a nation of their own. So they lobbied until they brought that issue on the floor of the United Nations meeting in New York. And after 2 days of deliberations, a majority of the people in the meeting voted that Israel should be given a nation, or the Jews should be given a nation of their own, which they can call theirs. And so many suggestions were put up. One of them actually was that they were supposed to take a part of Uganda in Karamoja. That had been suggested. And actually, the UN seemed to be wanting, because they were scared that Israel going to where they are now would cause problem with the Arab neighbors, which of course it has. They suggested Uganda, and they suggested specifically the region of Karamoja. Of course, Uganda could not have said no, because we were still a British colony. It was for the British to decide whether Israel or the Jewish state should be in Uganda. But somehow, the Jews knew what they wanted. They said they are not coming to Uganda. They know their historical land, and they know where it is, and that's why they wanted to go. So they were given a small piece of land outside, with a slice of Jerusalem, which did not include East Jerusalem, which was actually West Jerusalem. So they were given that slice of land, and so they survived like that. But in the immediate aftermath of Israel being, that was, the vote was in November of 1947, but the actual declaration of the State of Israel was in May 14th, 1948, because that's when the mandate that had been given to the British over that region ended. So when it ended, then they declared the State of Israel. Now, it was birthed amidst a lot of struggle, amidst a great deal of struggle, because immediately they announced the State of Israel, all the neighbors around came about and wanted to fight them in their infancy. And now they were fighting people who are just coming from Europe, coming from, you know, different parts of the world, mostly from Europe, a few from America, some from Russia, from Turkey, and so on. And we are just coming, and we are not even combatants. But there are so many things which happened there which actually were miraculous, but somehow the State of Israel was created there at the time it was supposed to be created by the will of God. And that actually is the beginning of the real end time, the creation of the nation of Israel. Before, because, you know, sometimes you mention that, you know, we're living in the times of the end, and people say, even people who lived in the 18th century said the same. No, when Israel was formulated as a nation, that was the beginning of it. Those who were thinking that they're in the end time in the 18th century were dreaming, because there would not be any end time without Israel being as a nation. Now, moving away from that, when they were attacked by their neighbors, they first fended them off. I'm talking about like 1948, 49, and then later on 1956. But now in 1956, something else happened, because the attack on Israel was bigger than the usual ones and involved many more nations. And now Israel would be just trying to rebuild their language, trying to rebuild their culture. You know, the way a state would be trying to actually get themselves off the ground. And then their neighbors would attack. But now, interestingly, all of the land that Israel acquired beyond what they were given by UN was acquired when people start wars against them. They never did ever start one war of their own. And they have not started a war of their own. They only retaliate. And that has been the story of Israel. And now in 1956, they retaliated. They became bigger. Because when you come against them and they go against you and defeat you, they take a slice of your territory. And then the biggest one, of course, was 1967.
Yes.
Now, that's where most of the borders that are currently Israel, the state of Israel, they got them from 1967 when they were attacked by a whole host of Arab countries led by Egypt, led by a president who was called Gamal Abdel Nasser, who stated categorically, even to the UN and to America, and said that the time for speeches and the time for you know, agreements and all that is over. It is time to run Israel off the face of the map and rectify the mistake which was made in 1947.
Yes.
So the purpose was to destroy Israel.
Yes.
And he actually said, Gamal Abdel Nasser, he said that their blood is going to soak the sand.
Yes.
The sand is going to be soaked with their blood.
Mm.
So it wasn't about territory.
No,
this was about the total destruction of a people, the total destruction of a nation.
Yes.
And it was stated clearly. You know, there was no doubt about what he wanted to do.
Yes.
So they came against them, and a number of nations, starting with, I mean, they included Jordan, they included Syria, they included, of course, Egypt.
Egypt, yes.
They had others, you know, all at call, Syria and all that.
Lebanon.
Lebanon.
Yes.
So they came against Israel. Mm. And guess what Israel did? That was the famous Six-Day War. Israel defeated them in 6 days, which was, according to all sorts of military analysts, was miraculous.
Yes.
Because they were beaten for numbers, they were beaten for equipment, they were beaten for tanks and for everything. But somehow in 6 days, they had all the nations which came against them begging for a ceasefire, saying, okay, ceasefire. Now, how did all that start? It started by what you could call, it is a miracle, but you can call it an act of coincidence if you want.
Yes.
Because there is a planned attack from aerial bombardment of Egyptian Air Force that is planning to go and bombard Israel and basically first raise them and weaken them before eventually the ground troops and the tanks coming from all directions.
Yes.
And it was a top secret. Nobody knew. It was just something between presidents and so on.
Yes.
But there was this exchange between presidents, which somebody picked up on a radio call, an Israeli person picked up on a radio call, and they were saying that on, I think, the morning of 1st or 2nd May 1967, at about 7:45, the planes were going to take off from Egypt.
Yes.
And we are going to go and bombard Israel.
Yes.
So Israel, having been armed with that information, which they got almost, of course, it was miraculous, but which you could call, you know, very coincidental, but actually wasn't a coincidence, it was a miracle. Israel, armed with that information, went and got their own planes. And just before the Egyptian planes took off to go and bombard Israel, Israel came and bombarded the Egyptian planes on the ground in Egypt.
Yes.
And it was a total surprise attack. And they also bombarded the runways, so that the remaining planes, which they could not bring other planes because the runways were destroyed.
Yes.
And that was the beginning of the Israeli victory. Eventually, they moved, and after 6 days, all the countries which came against Israel were begging for a ceasefire, which Israel eventually gave.
Mm.
But when it was given, Israel had taken a lot of territory, extra territory. And and so they expanded themselves. They went a bit north, they went a bit east, they went northeastern. They took over the Golan Heights, where now people are coming from Syria. And they took over now this area, which is called the West Bank, which they eventually gave back to Palestine. But they are taking that over completely as well.
Sinai Peninsula.
The Sinai Peninsula and a lot of other places.
Yes.
But especially, they took over East Jerusalem.
Yes.
East Jerusalem is now the real Jerusalem, the old Jerusalem, which has all, you know, the historical sites, where the Temple Mount was, where the mosques are, the, you know, the Alaska Mosque and the Dome of the Rock. So they took over all that territory and expanded. Now, I want you to know that at no time did Israel initiate a war on their own to take territory.
Yes.
They only waited for their enemies to come against them. And when they went back and beat them to pieces, they actually took more territory.
Yes.
Now, the land which they are calling the occupied territory was land which was not occupied until the people who were in it came and attacked Israel.
Yes.
So Israel retaliated and took it over.
Yes.
And even eventually gave it back to them.
Yes.
That is the West Bank.
Bank, yes.
Or, you know, the Gaza Strip.
Even Sinai Peninsula.
Even Sinai Peninsula. They even gave up. They even gave over Bethlehem.
Yes.
And so many other places which they have given up through negotiation.
Yes, yes.
But now the thing is this, so many people who talk about a two-state solution and people who don't understand all the history of it, they talk about a two-state solution. But the truth is, those people do not want a two-state solution.
Yes.
A majority of the Arabs, the occupants of Gaza Strip and all that, do not want, even the countries around, Syria and Jordan and all that, don't want a two-state solution.
No.
They don't want a state of Palestine and a state of Israel.
No.
They don't want that because they have even up to now refused to recognize that Israel exists.
Mm.
What they want is a one-state solution.
Yes.
And they know what they are planning. They are planning what is called the right of return.
Yes.
And this is what they keep on pushing on. There are people in Jordan. There are people in Syria. Now, these people, these Muslims, they will never give them nationality.
Yes.
They ran into Jordan. They will never say that now you're Jordanian citizens.
Yes.
No. So they are saying you're citizens of Israel.
Yes.
So they are saying they want a right of return.
Yes.
Some are in Syria. Some are in, of course, Gaza.
Yes.
Others are in, you know, Jordan. And they say some even are all the way up to Turkey. Now they want a right of return.
Yes.
Now what a right of return means in this case for them, and they know what they are doing, is if they come back in their millions, probably 10 to 20 million, and they say now, okay, you come back to Israel.
Yes.
They would outnumber the Jews.
Very well.
And then eventually they would vote all the Jews out of power. And eventually Israel will become an Arab state.
Yes.
That's what they want. They don't want a two-state solution.
No.
Because if they have two states, their state will be full of poverty and Israel will be full of wealth.
Yes.
And then they will have nothing. They just use it as a negotiating thing when they are down.
Yes.
No, two states. But in actual sense, they actually want to come. Because Israel is a democracy.
Yes.
If these people come and bombard them with their numbers, eventually Israel will cease to be a Jewish state.
Yes.
And remember, it was given by the United Nations as a Jewish state.
Yes.
And they say we shall always remain a Jewish state.
Mm.
But you know, because the majority of the Jews who are living there came with their lifestyles from Europe and so on, they have one or two babies. It's only the Orthodox Jews maybe who are giving birth at anything close to a rate that can easily sustain a population or even grow it.
Yes.
Now the others are giving birth to one or two babies because they are, you know, they are Europeanized and so on.
Yes.
Now the Arabs, on the other hand, one man has 70 children.
Yes.
Now,
they outnumber.
Now they would outnumber them in less than a generation.
Yes.
And that's what they want.
Mm.
Come and let's come and we get citizenship and give us citizenship. Will be what? Then eventually they will outnumber all the Jews, and they would vote them out of power.
Yes.
And then they will be the ones in charge of Israel. That is exactly what they want.
Yes.
But they will not see it right now.
No.
That's actually what happened with Lebanon. Do you know, all the way up to even 1980s, Lebanon was 70% Christian.
Yes.
But that's exactly what they did. They bombarded them with their numbers. And now Lebanon is purely...
Yeah, it's purely Muslim.
Yeah, Muslim. Mm. And now even the Christian are a very small minority. But they were a majority, 70%.
Yes.
So now that's the purpose of it.
Mm.
So now people will say that, why isn't Israel accepting a two-state solution? If actually Palestine would agree to have a state of their own.
Yes.
And the only issue would be, sticking issue would be Jerusalem.
Yes.
East Jerusalem, which they want as the capital of the Palestinian state, which Israel cannot give up.
Can't.
Anybody who has read the Bible, you remember what it says in you know, Psalms 137, where it says, when the Lord returned to the captivity of Zion. It says at the end of that psalm, that if I forget you, O Jerusalem, you get that. Psalms 137. So now when they are talking about when the Lord returns the captivity of Zion, we are like those who dream, when our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongues with song.
Yes.
And it was said among the nations that the Lord has done them well, and the Lord has done us well. Then he says towards the end of it, that if I forget you, O Jerusalem. Now that's what Jerusalem means to the Jew. Psalms 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Now, this is the years of captivity when they were in Babylon, and they were remembering Zion, remembering Jerusalem.
Yes.
We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it, for those who carried us away captive asked of us a song, and those who planned at us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Verse 5, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. if I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. There is no way you are going to take I've stopped halfway of that psalm, but there is no way Israel is going to go and sit in Jerusalem and make it their capital after they have waited generations.
After generations.
Waiting to be go back to Jerusalem. Yes. And then you say now you approach. So now, it's not going to happen.
No.
Okay? Not as long as they have anything to do with it. So, and in truth,
yes,
there is not a single Arab leader, emir, or sultan or anybody who ruled with Jerusalem as his capital.
No.
Not a single one in history. So the claim of the Palestinians on Jerusalem is absolute hogwash. There are so many kings of Israel who ruled out of Jerusalem.
Yes.
There is not a single one of an Arab who ruled out of Jerusalem. Not one.
No.
Of course, there was a time when, you know, the empires of the Turkish Empire and what had control over that place.
Yes.
But they were ruling from somewhere else. It was just some territory.
That
was under them. Now, this is totally different. So, now that being said, I want you to understand this, that Jerusalem or Israel right now, what is happening here is not a political debate.
Yes.
It's a spiritual debate.
Yes.
And if you find that you have your sympathies, if you're a Christian and your sympathies are with Free Palestine, you should go and repent.
Yes.
I'm telling you, because something inside you is not right. There is a setting inside you which is not right.
Yes.
Because every person who is a believer in Jesus Christ and who actually has the Spirit of God in them knows that this is something personal to God.
Yes.
This is not about what you hear on CNN and all that rubbish.
No.
This is something personal to God.
Yes.
Okay? He promised Abraham that he will give his descendants this place, this land. And he gave a promise to Abraham.
Yes.
And if you find that your emotions or your inclination is away from what God promised Abraham, you are in serious trouble.
Yes.
Because just know that the spirit of the Antichrist, and that has always, that historically, hates the Jews.
Yes.
So that does not mean that they are perfect and, No. But they have suffered a great deal. Because how many people had the land and then it was taken away from them for almost 1,800 years and then returned to them? And then people say that, but you know, it was just, Israel is a new state just created in 1947. There are states that have been created long after that.
Yes.
Like South Sudan.
Yes.
Now, are you going to go and tell South Sudan that you don't have a right to be here?
Yes.
Because your state was created just the other day in our lifetime. No. Once a state has been created,
you have
to acknowledge that this state is here and it is here to stay. So now Israel is not even the latest. In 1990.
Yes.
There was one country called Czechoslovakia.
Yes.
You remember it?
Yes.
Czechoslovakia, maybe you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Now, Czechoslovakia, after it was attacked by NATO, was split. It was split into pieces like the way you'd get a plate of China.
Yes.
And throw it down.
Yes.
And it splits. Yes. Now, there's Czech Republic, there's Slovakia, there's Slovenia, there's what, you know. So many countries came out of it. And all those countries are new. And all of them have been accepted into the world body as new.
Yes.
Created in the 1990s, some all the way up to the 2000s.
Yes.
And the 2000s. Now, but when it comes to Israel, everybody says, but it has only just, you know, Israel has only just come about, you know, 1947. No, 1947 is only, they are in excess of more than 80 years old.
Yes.
Okay, I'm coming to 80 years old. Now, anyhow, so my point is this. I just want to tell you the spiritual battle. Tell me, how is this a spiritual battle? Maybe you should be the one to tell us this.
Now, there is a scripture here which is actually a fulfillment of Bible prophecy, which is in Psalms 120, from verse 5. It says, "Woe is me that I dwell in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." So, I've learned from you, and you've said that over 37 times the scripture has spoken about Jerusalem and Israel.
Actually, God has called Jerusalem his city.
So, his city. Now, because you started by saying that there is no end time without Jerusalem and Israel in existence. Now, because of that, the reason why it's a very spiritual battle is the enemy wants to take over Jerusalem as a city because he knows that when he takes over Jerusalem as a city, he can stop fulfillment of a Bible prophecy. And when a Bible prophecy has been stopped or cannot come to pass, then that is the point when the enemy can say that God is a liar and God cannot judge him. Because you remember, there is a hanging judgment all over the enemy, the devil. And that judgment is according to the word of God. Now, if any scripture, if he can stop the fulfillment of any scripture in the Bible, then that means God cannot judge him by that word, by his word. So that's one way I see this as a spiritual battle.
The other way is in Zechariah chapter 12. You know this scripture.
Yes.
Verse 1. The burden of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Now, what I find so interesting about that first verse is that God first declares as if his authority.
Yes.
He says, this is who is speaking.
Yes.
The one who made the heaven and the earth.
Yes.
And the one even who gives breath to man.
Yes.
So in other words, you cannot contest this.
Yes.
I made the heaven and the earth. I made you. I even give you breath.
Breath.
Now, then in verse 2, he says, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding nations, all the surrounding peoples, when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all the peoples, who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all the nations of the earth are gathered against it. Now, the reason he's saying this is, he knows all the nations of the earth are going to be gathered against it. And he's saying, thus says the Lord, who made the nations. Don't forget who is speaking. Eh? This is not a politician. This is God.
Yes.
And even first states, like he is, as if his credentials.
Yes.
Thus says the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and everything in it. And even who gives breath to man. He says, even if the whole nations were to gather together.
Yes.
Eh? They will not heave Jerusalem away.
Yes.
It is impossible.
Yes.
Okay. Now, just know this, it is impossible.
Yes.
Now, there are some dreamers who think that at some stage they will come and take on this is not going to happen because he states his credentials and then tells you, this is about me. And then says, the burden of the word of Lord against Israel. Now, this is what is happening right now, where Jerusalem becomes a cup of trembling or something that splits opinion.
Yes.
One people are on this side, the other people on the other side.
Yes.
And there is no in-betweens.
Yes.
Some nations are pro-Israel, others are against Israel. You've been telling me some of those. Tell me some of the nations, how they are proclaiming themselves in regard to this war.
Actually, I just saw a map of the whole world. They have sent the map of the whole world and in their response to what is happening right now in Israel. So some of them are saying de-escalation, some of them are pro-Israel, some of them are pro-Hamas and Palestine. Now, Turkey responded and says that the only reason why this war is happening and why Palestine can never be at peace with Israel is because there is no nation, a sovereign nation of Palestine. So that one they are calling for the Palestinian sovereign nation.
That is a two-state solution.
Then, of course, America said that they are going to stand with Israel.
But I don't trust
but
them.
Of course.
Because I'll tell you this.
Yes.
The timing of this attack on Israel was what I call a perfect storm.
Yes.
Meaning that there were so many factors that had to come together.
Yes.
First of all, when Netanyahu went to the UN General Assembly in September.
Yes.
And declared that they were on the verge of signing a peace agreement with Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
And even the Saudi
Crown Prince
agreed with that. Now, that meant something had to be done by the people who do not want to normalize Israel.
Yes.
Because if they signed that agreement, having signed already agreements with other countries in what were called the Abrahamic Accords during the presidency of Trump, now, that would mean that Palestine and Iran are being isolated.
Very well.
And Iran is mostly Shia Muslims who are a minority, a very small minority. And because about 85% of Muslims are Sunni Muslims.
Yes.
And those ones tend towards this direction.
And towards Saudi.
Arabia. Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
And now if Saudi Arabia normalizes
yes.
with Israel, that would mean that now so many Muslim countries are okay with Israel.
Yes.
And can have some sort of trade and sort of agreements and so on with them,
yes.
as it has been. Now that would be a game changer for Iran,
yes.
who do not want that. They want the disruption to continue because they want something. They want actually to isolate Israel.
Yes.
But now Israel was moving to actually isolate Palestine and Iran.
Yes.
So now that's one of the things, proposed peace agreement between Israel and Saudi Arabia. That
yes.
shook Iran
yes.
awake. The second one is Israel have been having their own internal problems.
Yes.
Which are largely caused by the presidency of Biden.
Yes.
And who really is Obama?
Yes.
Because let nobody deceive you that Biden is running America.
No.
Obama is running America.
Yes.
Behind the scenes.
Yes.
There was even a video I saw of Obama visiting the White House, and Biden was like a houseboy showing him around. Like
yes.
he was really starstruck by the visit of Obama because he's the one who is pushing all these things. Anyhow, so and Obama has never been a friend of the Jews. Eh?
No.
We know that because first of all he's Hussein and all that Muslim and all that. So in his heart, although
yes.
outward he claims he's something else.
Yes.
But so what I'm saying is that. So now America is pushing Israel, judicial reforms,
yes.
protests, which
and
are sponsored
that.
By, largely sponsored by America and so on. And so Israel in itself had its own turmoil.
Yes.
Then they don't like the fact that there is a very strongly right-wing government in Israel.
That's
Which they call far right, but very
yes.
strongly right-wing.
Yes.
With the Orthodox Muslims
yes.
having a lot of say because they are part of the coalition that put Netanyahu into power. And all these things. So America doesn't like that.
Yes.
They want to push Israel to the left.
Left, yes. To their agenda.
To their agenda.
Yes.
That is the Biden-Obama, White House.
Yes.
So they have been trying to disorganize it. So now Israel is disorganized. Israel wants to get into an accord with Saudi Arabia, which would
yes.
isolate Palestine and Iran. And Netanyahu's prime ministership is challenged.
Yes.
And there are so many internal issues.
Yes, yes.
So now, if you're thinking from the place of Iran, there would be no better time to attack Israel.
Like now.
Like now.
Yes.
And then there is the Feast of Tabernacles.
Yes.
Which they keep and, and they are quiet, and the public holiday and everybody is at home.
Yes.
People are having party. It's usually
yes.
party day on the next day after the
yes.
Feast of Tabernacles.
Actually, a few weeks, 3 weeks ago, first of all, let me start with what America did. America sent money to pay for their hostages in Iran, $6 billion. When that one was done, personally, I expected that there will be so much strengthening of Iran and their proxies, and of course also their nuclear program, and also them building up their army and all their ammunitions. So I suspected something like that. But immediately after, there was a meeting of the head of Hamas. He went to Beirut, which is Lebanon, and met with all the proxies and all the what I can call the terrorist groups
which are sponsored by
Iran, and met with them and asked them that they should organize themselves for a multi-front war against Israel. So when I saw that, I said this is exactly what now you are saying, that they are seeing exactly what is happening in Israel, that there is a lot of weakening and weakness in Israel. And this is the best time, being that they're also entering their peak of holidays. So that's when they actually started putting up a few skirmishes between them and Israel, which, of course, they started sending
fire balloons
and sending it to the farms of Israel. And then also at the border points of between Gaza and Israel, there have been a lot of conflicts going on. There's even the one incident was they shot one of the IDF soldiers there, and actually all that was to attempt to bring out something that could bring into war. But there was also one question that because they were asking that all this time on that very day on Saturday morning when these guys, the terrorists, were coming invading, what were the IDF's doing, the Israel Defense Force doing? Because that border is very sophisticated with a lot of sensors and then also cameras that they are all the time monitored.
No, but you know, the honest truth is this. I think there was... I don't have a good feeling for America in regard to this.
Yes.
Because there was a lapse in intelligence.
Yes.
Because for Israel to have been caught completely by surprise,
yes.
there was a complete lapse in intelligence.
Yes.
Now, there's an agreement of intelligence sharing between America
and Israel.
But I don't think Biden likes Israel that much. No. Although, as a head of state in America, he's duty-bound to say it because of the Jewish population there and how much power they have in America.
Yes.
But I don't think that he and Obama necessarily like Israel. Mm. So I'm thinking if there was a meeting in Beirut involving Hezbollah, involving Hamas, involving the Houthis, and all the other proxy fighting groups of Iran, there is no way there could not have been some intelligence in there saying that they are planning something.
Yes.
Now, they might not have necessarily known the day, but they should have at least known that something is being cooked.
Yes.
How that escaped them is something I do not understand.
Someone was saying that this, maybe Israel knew it, but they did not maybe expect it to escalate this big.
Mm.
So that they gain, because they wanted them to attack Israel.
Mm.
And then on that note, Israel would gain ground and basis for attacking and retaliating.
No, but then the thing is, when you see that they are losing in excess of 1,000 people.
Yes.
You know, that's the single biggest loss of Jewish lives.
Yes, since Holocaust.
Since the Holocaust.
Yes.
And you know how those people value the life of their people.
Mm.
So there is no way that, because all of this, but then here is what we should be looking at. First of all, we know very well, and we've been talking this all the time, that the day you see Israel going and bombing Iranian nuclear facilities, we have entered officially the Gog and Magog war.
Yes.
Or it's there and thereabout.
Mm.
And right now, Israel is, I think because Iran is so close to getting their nuclear weapon, and they know that Israel knows that.
Yes.
And they know that Israel has destroyed their nuclear weapon on the verge of being,
over the years.
Over the years. Mm. When they are just about to, load it, Israel comes and destroys it.
Yes.
They have done that over and over again.
Yes.
So now maybe the Iran is thinking, let's keep Israel busy fighting Hamas and so on. And by the time they are through with that, we have our nuclear weapon.
Yes.
And now we can talk, with them face to face because they have Israel has nuclear weapons, so do Iran.
Mm.
But then now Israel might decide, speculating, might decide that rather than wasting time with Hezbollah and Hamas, why not just solve the problem from the source?
Yes.
And the source is Iran.
Yes.
And do not be surprised if tomorrow you hear that Israel has gone and bombed something in Iran where their facilities are. Because they have total control over that. They know where it is. They know.
Very well.
And they have destroyed it before. And Iran keeps on rebuilding.
Yes.
At a massive cost.
Yes.
So now, if you hear that Israel has gone now and is going to solve the problem from source.
Yes.
Then you know that we have entered the Gog and Magog war.
Yes.
Gog and Magog war, just to remind you,
is
going to be a very, very dangerous war.
Yes.
Because when you are saying how Israel is being attacked, that's actually how it describes it in Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Yes.
Coming from the north,
coming
from every direction, especially from the Golan Heights.
Yes. Mm.
And now if that happens, and you know Syria is a confused nation as it is, if especially that part of Syria, you know the capital is where the Assads and Al are, but somehow it's now a divided nation because of the war that has been there.
Yes.
Now if you see that coming from that place, know that one thing is going to happen, Israel is going to use its atomic weapons.
Mm.
Because they have stated before that they will use them if they are under an existential threat.
Yes.
And now I'm hearing them saying this is an existential threat. And now when I hear that language, I know that it might be a justification for nuclear weapons.
Yes.
Because they have said it before that we shall use these nuclear weapons if there is an existential threat.
Yes. And then also one part which I've been looking at is the fulfillment of Isaiah 17, and which is the destruction of Damascus as a city.
Yes.
Now, being that I'm seeing Syria involving themselves in this, of course, at first they said that we are not going to involve. But today, Wednesday, they have said they have started an attack, which means they have allowed Hezbollah, which is a terror group, in Syria to now launch through their country to Israel. So I'm seeing that, and I'm saying that this might lead to the destruction of, okay, it might
lead to Isaiah 17 being fulfilled.
Yes, because what I'm seeing right now, Israel is really turning Gaza into a rubble. Because that's, they said, actually took over Gaza, cut over electricity, cut over water, everything.
And even the supply from the Mediterranean.
Yes, everything. Now they have, so, and they kept on just hitting it with bombs and missiles. So it's bigger buildings are just crumbling down. So that's what one thing I'm seeing. And I said, this picture looks like what might take place in
Damascus.
In Damascus. And the way they are attacking. And now I'm seeing the involvement of Syria. And I'm saying there's something working out here, which I have to see and wait very well.
Okay, let me just, for the sake of, let me read what that Isaiah 17 says, so that we know exactly what we are talking about. But you know, it says that Damascus will be destroyed as a city and will cease to be a city.
Yes.
And it will cease to be a city. It will be destroyed so badly that it will not even be called a city from that time onwards. That's what it says. And Damascus is one of the oldest cities ever. I mean, of at least in the Bible.
Yes.
It's one of the oldest. Actually, I think it's the oldest, in the Bible. Because even the oldest city which is in that place and called by that name, and is situated in the same place. The burden against Damascus, Isaiah 17, verse 1. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. That's what it says.
Yes.
Now, that prophecy has never been fulfilled.
No.
And because Damascus has been there, and nobody has touched, and it's still a city. So now it has to be fulfilled at some stage. So maybe, as you are saying, this is the time for that prophecy to come to pass. But then we are looking at quite a number of things. Now, if the Gog and Magog war happens, then that's a war that the scripture says will kill a third of the people on the earth.
Yes.
One third of the people on the earth.
Mm.
When it happens, if it happens.
Mm.
And if Israel goes to Iran and bombs Iran's nuclear facilities, that might be the beginning of it.
Yes.
Because now all the nations of the Islamic world will come against Israel. And that's exactly what the Bible says will happen.
Yes. Okay, I'm also seeing from this point that right now, what we are, the cause of this war is just a terrorist attack with fronts from different sides, which are still also terrorists. And these are just terrorist groups. But someone can ask that, is this the Gog and Magog war, or is it the one? Which, of course, I can say that right now we are seeing it formulating very well and forming up properly, because being that right now we are seeing only fronts coming from the terrorist group, it can actually lead to the point where nations now come.
I think nations are about to come, because if you see, that's why I was asking you how nations are pronouncing themselves in regard to this.
Yes.
First of all, Russia came and said that it's a failure of American policy in the Middle East.
Yes.
Like, that's why this war is happening.
Yes.
And he's calling for some kind of multi-pronged approach to Middle East issues, where there is a group of people which is not just America trying to handle Middle East issues. Erdogan, Turkey, is talking a bit tough.
Very tough.
He's talking extremely tough. And so other, Iran have more or less acknowledged that they are responsible for what happened.
Yes.
One of their spokesmen said something, and like he basically said, that's us. And I found that interesting, because I would think that they would take a more diplomatic approach of denying, even if the whole world know it is them. But they came out and basically acknowledged that they are behind it. So now, what does that say? That means that Israel might be tempted.
Yes. I want to read a statement by Turkish President Erdogan. He says that if the Zionist regime continues to act as an organization and not as a government, it will be treated as an organization. That's what he declared.
It's going to be?
Yes. And France, France, what he did is he actually cut ties with funding, because they were actually one of the funders of Palestinians. So they started cutting their fund, and they said, we are not going, because of the French people who were actually also killed. India, India, of course, because there is a background of a militia of I'm forgetting its name. This militia group had some kind of a terrorist attack in India some time ago. Now, with that, India ever actually hated terrorism. So with this, when they see Hamas coming to attack Israel, they actually stood in the side of Israel because they're still supporting and they don't want, they actually dislike terrorism.
China
also,
they are being lukewarm.
They are
basically staying away from
They're just
India is famous for being neutral in all things. They are famous for their neutral stand. It's interesting to see how this time is, they seem to have a stand. So those are the countries. And Britain?
Actually, Britain came behind Israel because it's actually, he organized the Prime Minister of England, organized a meeting, and he went and met the Jews to speak to them and stand with them. So he's actually leaning towards Israel.
Interesting that the Pope called somebody, a priest from Palestine, and offered prayers. Now, of course, it's not just prayers, it's offering. He's passing on a message. There's a message he's passing on. I found it interesting. So, any other world leader we should... what I want you to know that this is a war which is going to split everybody.
Nation,
there is hardly going to be anybody who is neutral.
Yes.
That's what it means, that our cause... Jerusalem to be a cup of trembling for all the nations, that they will, everyone is split on Jerusalem. Everyone is split on Jerusalem. Maybe Uganda. not that it matters at all, but I know our guy here went and talks as usual. You know, he talks like he's some kind of big world leader, not a leader of some rundown third world country. He came out and said that he supports the two-state solution. I was wondering, say, who wants your opinion? Two-state solution. First of all, the very complex factors that are at play here. Like, even the people who are asking for a state don't actually want it.
No.
They want the other state.
In their own opinion, actually, they want to take over the whole of... Because they want
actually,
the Jews
They want Israel out completely.
Out of the picture.
And there are two ways of taking it out. One is militarily,
war,
which they are not going to do. The other one is by overrunning them with population. And voting the Jews out of power. And basically, and once you're a Jew in a country which is run by Arab, they will kill you. So now, and then the whole purpose of the Jewish having their state will have, you know, would have died away. So this is a split thing. Even in, among, I know some conservatives, American conservatives, and somebody was saying, but I thought this guy is conservative. How come he's supporting Palestinians? They say, no, this has nothing to do with liberal conservative. This is a spiritual thing. Either you're pro-Israel or anti-Israel. Now, this is Psalms 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. That is what it is all about. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, it is also about us and the responsibility that the scripture gives us to pray for Israel. Because Paul said salvation belongs to the Jews, is of the Jews. And then he said they gave us these scriptures. I've told you before, all but two books in the Bible were written by Jews. Now we have a responsibility to Israel. They don't have to believe in Jesus. No, they only have to be natural descendants of Abraham. Now we have this blessing of Abraham. They may not even have it because it's more powerful in the spiritual than it is in the natural. But it is there in the natural because they are natural descendants. Now, so if you find that the news you're listening to is making you dislike Israel, switch it off because you're getting a spirit that is not of God. I'm telling you that. So you have to be very, very careful. If you find yourself in a place where the news you're listening to is making you hate Israel, switch off that news. We switched off that news so many years ago, by the way, for some of those things where you sat. It is subtle. It's very, very subtle. Now, those people are very good at passing on subtle, almost subliminal messages where you find yourself liking or disliking somebody or leaning in a certain way without them having ever told you to do it. They will come at you in all sorts of ways. They will come at you in movies. Mm-hmm. They will come at you with the news, yes, through the news channels. Yes. They will come at you through
papers,
through newspapers, yes, through editorial content that you read and so on. And the next thing you know that you're thinking in a certain direction,
yes,
and you're not supposed to be thinking in that direction.
Yes. Personally, what I'm seeing, the good, the positive part is that all the disunity and what has been happening, the riots and all that which has been happening in Israel, and all that internal problems which had arisen, right now it has been split, and actually Netanyahu declared and said, this is the end of our disunity. That's what he said. And one thing with them is that with the Jews, that when it comes to war, there it's a matter of their existence. And someone was saying that they are tutored from childhood about this, that when they are in war, they are together. So I'm seeing that it is splitting through all these leftist agenda, where the Bidens and all these George Soros, and they wanted to sponsor and these riots. They are sponsoring, actually, the riots and all these things in Israel. So that's one thing I'm seeing, that it is solving that internal problem, because they had actually caused a lot of weakness in the government of Netanyahu. But now they are together, and to the point that there was someone who is a former IDF soldier. He's 70 years old. But when this started happening, he took up his uniform and said, I'm going to fight. So it was very unprecedented, because someone of 70 years old, you just look at him as someone who should be at home.
And he should be. I hope they don't. But the thing is,
yes,
it's interesting how a lot of the news channels, satellites, they are killing a lot of civilians.
Yes.
They are not attacking military units. They are attacking civilians in Gaza, and so on.
Yes.
And now, and somebody asks that these guys who came, they came using through some kind of parachutes. And landed over the fence.
Yes.
And they went house by house. Getting, there was a young girl who was like 14, 15.
Yes.
Got her, raped her, cut off her, killed, cut off her neck, what? Like, those are, but when Hamas does that, their standards are different. They can do anything they want. But when Israel comes, then everybody comes out. Oh, you're killing women and children. Those guys were going door to door, pulling people out who were still asleep, because they had an overnight party. Pulling out people who are still asleep, taking some hostages, killing some, lots of hostages whom, of course, they intend to use there. And now they have said that for every building, that's Hamas. Every building that Israel raises down in Hamas, they are going to openly, on air, execute one of their the Israeli hostages. So now here, as war is always, there are casualties.
Yes.
And not always combatants.
Yes.
But this level, and when you hear Netanyahu saying we are going to get back at them in a way that's going to reverberate over decades.
Yes.
You know that a lot of harm is determined by them, because the military capability of Israel is tremendous.
Very much.
Now, and of course, these people have known. But what happens is these Hamas guys,
Their
wives and their children are in Kuwait. They don't have any families in Gaza. Now, they are the ones who go and provoke Israel. And when Israel comes to kill, it kills other people's families and children. Theirs are safe in Kuwait. Or in some other emirate.
Yes.
Now that's how it is. And so now, of course, it would be good if the true retaliation is against the people who actually master plan.
Yes.
Because if you take Hamas out of Palestine and take the PLO out of Palestine, the rest of the people are very good, innocent people who just want to have a living. But now these people are imposing themselves on these Palestinian people. I saw that very morning of Saturday.
Yes.
When there was the attack was on, by midday people were fleeing from Gaza, women and children, because they knew what was coming.
Yes.
They knew what was coming. And you know, somebody who has lived through war, myself,
you know what?
Some gentleman told me a story when during the 1980s, when these Bushmen were still in the bush, that there was a gentleman who was a renowned UPC man.
Yes.
And he used to go and drive to some place, trading center around Mpiji. He had a big business here in Kampala, so you'd drive to Mpiji and you know, everybody would come around him because he somehow knew what was happening, and they would come and he gives them news of what's happening. He would come with newspapers, which were such a marvel, so everybody jumps on the newspapers and starts reading, you know, Uganda, English, and so on. So one day, the man comes from Kampala with his Mercedes-Benz, comes, sits in the trading center as usual, sits, people come around.
Yes.
Then somebody just came out of nowhere and shot him dead. Within a matter of hours, the whole village was empty. Everybody had run out because they knew the retaliation was coming. And it did. Even old people were taken away. Now, my point is, I saw those people running away from Gaza.
Yes.
And said, poor people.
Yes.
They are totally innocent. Mm. They have nothing to do with this.
No.
And they know what is coming. Yes. They know what their leaders have done. Mm. They know their leaders have, you know, have pulled the, what's it, have touched the mane of a lion.
Yes.
And now the retaliation is coming. Mm. But that's sad.
Yes.
If only Hamas and PLO would get away from there, Palestine would be, because remember it was given to, Israel gave Palestine to the, Gaza to the Palestinians in 2005.
Yes.
But still it maintains a bit of control over them because you can't trust them.
Very much.
They have to know what is entering, if it is food, if it is what, then so that otherwise they would be putting the ammunition and so on. So anyway, that's I think a bit of what's happening in the Middle East. I hope that gives you a historical perspective as well as a current perspective of what's happening, as well as a scriptural perspective. You want to add anything as we come to a close?
What we are just seeing is fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and what you need to watch over is, don't look at things according to the news. look at this as the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and look from the scriptural standpoint of things. And when you're looking at it, you're looking at end time and the coming of the Lord Jesus.
And not just fulfillment by the Bible prophecy.
Yes.
Also fulfillment of prophecies which have been given by credible prophets.
Yes.
In our current time.
Yes.
So, which are verifiable, extremely verifiable prophecies which have given us a direction of what to expect.
Yes.
And at the beginning of this year, I was trying to, when I had the prophecies, I was trying to actually see how, if this is going to turn out.
Yes.
And in regard to how the prophecies were, because I knew, of course, the prophecies were given and they were going to come to pass.
Yes.
Now I was trying to time, because for me, I'm always seeing how close we are getting to the coming of the Lord.
Yes.
So now all these things, the Bible prophecies, as well as prophecies given by credible prophets here, all help me to get a picture of where we stand in God's timetable.
Yes.
So I guess we'll come to an end there. And thank you so much for joining us here on The Watchman. I hope you've picked a thing or two about what's happening in that place. We shall continue discussing it as we go ahead. And as I'm sure, there will always be updates.
Yes.
By next week, there will be other updates and other updates.
Yes.
God bless you all. Thank you so much.
Amen.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week to connect to the anointing upon The Watchman. You can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555, or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.